Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. One of the most beautiful images portrayed in the scriptures as a description of our God is that of a shepherd. The most famous and beloved of these portrayals is Psalm 23, which begins with the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The rest of this Psalm of David praises the many ways in which God cares for his people and provides for their every need. The basis for the confidence that David expressed in this psalm is the reality of the way in which a shepherd cares for his sheep. Certainly, if a human shepherd cared for his sheep in as complete and loving a way as David knew he had done, how much more so then would our God, who is our shepherd? The image of a loving shepherd who cares for his sheep is not limited to the Old Testament, nor solely to references to God the Father. For example, this image is one way in which the elders in a congregation are described in the New Testament. Their watchful care over the body of Christ and their leadership of it are purposely patterned after the shepherd example found in the Old Testament, and after the example of the Son of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. This is not the only shepherd designation which is applied to Jesus, however. Long before Peter wrote of him as the chief shepherd, the Lord spoke of himself as the good shepherd. The record of this discussion is found in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, and it occurs in the context of his healings of a blind man on the Sabbath day. In the controversy which followed the healing, Jesus asserted his deity and his place as the judge of the world, and he used the parable of the good shepherd to distinguish himself from the false shepherds who were the rulers of the Jews at that time. We're going to begin our study by reading John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. This is the parable Jesus taught in order to introduce the idea of the good shepherd. So here John records these words. Jesus is speaking, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what these things were which he had been saying to them. Now the reason for this parable and the Lord's explanation of the Good Shepherd was because of the reaction of the Jewish leaders to his miraculous healing of a blind man on the Sabbath day. All through the record of this event in chapter 9, the Jewish leaders did everything possible to discredit Jesus. They said he was not from God because he did not keep the Sabbath. They even called him a sinner. Then they tried to discredit the man who had been healed and to coerce both he and his parents into denying what had happened to him. All these things, along with their personal refusal to believe in Jesus, were not acceptable actions by those whose job it was to shepherd God's people. They should have been the first to proclaim that Jesus was the Messiah. Instead, they were concerned only with preserving their own power and position. They were false shepherds trying to get into the fold by some means other than the door, and Jesus identified them as such by his parable. Using the well-known practices associated with shepherding in that particular day, Jesus set the stage for revealing the true nature of the religious leaders of that time, as well as clearly identifying himself as the one for whom they had been waiting for hundreds of years. Several elements are important in understanding Jesus' complaint against the scribes and the Pharisees. The sheepfold of which Jesus spoke was a walled area, open to the sky, but accessible only by a single door. It was designed to keep the sheep from wandering and to keep predators out. The doorkeeper's job was to guard the entrance to the fold and to only allow the shepherd of each flock to enter and get his sheep. The shepherd knew each of his own sheep, and he called them by name. The sheep, on the other hand, knew their own shepherd and would only follow his voice. Once the sheep were called, the shepherd led the way, and they followed after him. The Lord's complaint against the scribes and the Pharisees was that they had forgotten and forsaken their proper leadership role for their own benefit. You see, they had become like thieves, robbers, and hired hands with regard to the sheepfold of God's people. Just how far they had strayed from the Lord's way is evident by the fact that they did not understand what Jesus was talking about as he delivered this parable to them. Because they did not understand the parable, the Lord explained it to them in verses 7 through 18. Let's read what John recorded here. Again, Jesus is speaking, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." Now, as we consider the Lord's explanation of this parable, we are struck by the fact that everything about it was focused on his supremacy, not only over the current leaders of the Jews, but also over all those who had come before him. Notice that Jesus plainly characterized them as thieves and robbers in verse 8, and as mere hired hands in verses 12 and 13. This was an accurate portrayal of them because they had long ago tailored their shepherding of God's people to fit their own wants and desires. This truth is clearly seen when the scribes and Pharisees were compared to John the Baptist, for example. When John's disciples, in concern for John standing as a prophet, came and told him how everyone was at that time going to Jesus, John simply replied, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John chapter 3 and verse 30. The Jewish leaders, however, hated Jesus because of his popularity, and out of envy they delivered him to Pilate to be crucified. This same conflict had been played out between the true prophets of God and those who prophesied and taught for their own personal gain for generations leading up to the time of our Lord. It is all of those who were false shepherds whom Jesus condemned in his explanation of this parable. Truly, when compared to God's true prophets and to his one and only Son, these were nothing more than thieves, robbers, and hired hands. On the other hand, Jesus is everything that they were not, and much more. First of all, Jesus said that he was the door of the sheep. This means that he was the only way in which access might be granted to the sheepfold. In the context of the parable, of course, this statement underscores the wickedness of the Jewish leaders. They had rejected Jesus, but were still seeking entrance to the fold. By not coming through the door, they could be nothing but thieves and robbers. As the door of the sheep, Jesus is the only means by which the sheep can be safe, secure, and cared for. Secondly, Jesus said that he is the good shepherd. It is not coincidence that Jesus used the adjective good in which to describe himself in his shepherd's role. He is not just a shepherd, he is the good shepherd. This means that there is no other shepherd to whom the sheep may turn, at least not one who is the good shepherd. The evidence for the Lord's claim to be the good shepherd is found in two areas. First of all, Jesus knows his sheep and they know him, verse 14. A key element in the parable that Jesus told is that the shepherd is able to call his sheep by name and that the sheep recognize the voice of their own shepherd. Such an intimacy between shepherd and flock is completely foreign to our experience, but it was commonplace in the Lord's day. As it applies to himself, Jesus is affirming that he knows all of those who belong to him. And this certainly elevates him above all others who claim leadership in a spiritual way. The second evidence to Jesus being the Good Shepherd is the fact that he was willingly laying down his life for his sheep. The image, of course, is of the shepherd who defends his flock against a predator, even at the cost of his own life. But the Lord's action is superior even to this. It is superior because he had already made the choice to surrender his life before the beginning of time. His action was superior also because his death would not be as a result of the wounds inflicted on him, but by his own choice to lay down his life at the appropriate time. Of course, the capstone to the Lord's superiority in this regard is his approval by the Father in heaven. No one else had such approval, nor would they receive such approval. Well, there is nothing more beautiful than the image of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. It is an image that comforts and encourages as we struggle through life, because we know he is there to care for us and to lead us day by day. As we think about our Lord in this role, there are three things that stand out for us. First of all, he is the door, the only way to get to heaven, where our pasture lies. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The lesson here is that if we do not follow Jesus, that is, if we do not obey his commands, we will not enter the heavenly fold. The second thing that stands out is that our shepherd knows us by name, and we must know and acknowledge him and follow where he leads if we wish to enter the heavenly fold. If we do not know Jesus by having obeyed his will, he will say to us at the last day, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. The third lesson applies to those who are God's shepherds for his church. In the same way that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep, elders of the church must be willing to spend their lives for the church. In the same way that Jesus knows his sheep, elders must know their flock as well. In the same way that Jesus calls his sheep by name and leads them step by step down the way, elders must be out front, leading the church by their example. As Paul told the elders from Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Elders must faithfully do so, lest the Lord pass judgment on them as thieves, robbers, and hired hands at the last day. So what we have seen from our study today is that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He has died on behalf of his sheep and has risen again to reign over his kingdom until time comes to an end. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, calls each of us to become a part of his flock by our obedience to the gospel, to be one of his sheep by surrendering to his will. Are you one of the Lord's sheep? Or are you still wandering around lost and bewildered? Does Jesus know your name because you belong to him? Do you know him and follow his voice? These are questions that each of us must consider thoughtfully as we reflect upon the parable of the Good Shepherd. If you don't know Jesus and if he doesn't know your name, you have no hope for eternal life. Follow the Good Shepherd. Obey his will. Heed his voice. Obey the gospel, and you will be saved. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.